Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you! Hope this isn't too loud. Someday I'll get a fucking producer. It's the last day of the world, as we know it. It's the last day of the year, and I have a very special guest on the podcast, also the house guest. New Jersey zone, the pride of Trenton. Please welcome Mr. Paul Verzi.
What is up, Bill?
Nothing. We've just been enjoying the drama of the morning, waiting for Jason Lawhead to fly
of the world as he knows it.
And Jay doesn't feel fine. Dude, these text messages he's been sending me. Jay Lawhead got snowed in Cleveland, and he was freaking out that he was going to miss the fucking Rose Bowl. So, you know, we fucking did a little thing or whatever. He got a flight, and he's fine. He has a flight, and he just, the whole time, he's so fucking dramatic. All right, man. What do you say? Pray for me.
Pray for me. This is unbelievable. They could make a movie. Is that what he's
saying? Dude, they could make a movie about me
trying to get
back to the Rose Bowl. It's like, dude, you have a ticket. The plane's going to leave. It connects in Dallas.
Where's the conflict in the movie?
Yeah, there is.
Like, where's the?
It's all in his head. It's the funniest. We love Jay, but
Jay's the best.
But the sky is constantly falling. These fucking things, like some of the shit he says. He texts me this morning. He goes, "Looks like I'm going to be all good. Flight is on time out of Dallas." It's like, yeah, why wouldn't it be? Once you get out of Cleveland airspace, you're heading south.
Yeah, it's like, was he waiting for the taxi to break down? Like, there's no.
I have no idea. So he goes, I love it. He goes, "Flight is on time out of Dallas. Looks like I'm going to be okay." So I write, "Okay, great." And then he goes, and then I go, all right, you know, I got the regular charcoal and then the natural stuff for the stuff we're going to smoke. We're doing the whole Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Tailgate checklist here. You know, sound good? And he goes, yeah, sounds good. And then he goes, great. May have jinxed myself. They just announced that maintenance is on the plane and they will update us in 15 minutes. Was supposed to board 10 minutes ago. This is fucking insane. It's like, hey, it's the end of the world as he knows it. And I just wrote back. I wrote back, you'll be fine. And we got to sing, you'll be fine.
Oh my God, dude.
And then he goes, a lot of Hawkeye fans on this flight. Translation, a lot of fucking ugly people on this flight. And I said, yeah, the Big Ten's a little rough, you know? And he goes, yeah, we make linemen and fullbacks. And then he goes, boarding now, thank Christ. I mean,
I've never seen anything like it. Jay's, it's like, if the other shoe could drop.
No, he's almost willing it to drop.
Yeah,
I swear to God,
expecting it to
drop. If this plane crashes, I'm blaming him. It's not going to be pilot error. It's him in the back just going like, oh, God, turbulence. Here we go. It's the end of the world. Yeah. We got to fucking tease him out of it.
I don't think he's ever going to. That's who he is, dude.
He's got to see the
sunshine. We all got our things. That's his.
I know. I get all worked up about fucking Star Wars. Dude, we were drinking cognac last night, and I was flipping out about Star Wars once again.
Oh, dude, you changed moods. You would have thought somebody told you something horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, compared to what?
It drives me fucking
nuts. And then you just... And
District 9 is better than any of those fucking things.
No, I know, dude, but then after that, you just looked at your drink for a second and were shaking your head, and I was like, is he really mad?
Oh, no. It just fucking drives me nuts. Like... Just say you enjoy the movie. Don't be like, oh, it's the greatest fucking movie. It isn't. Right. I don't know why it bugs me. It just bothers me where I just have to be like, well, Jesus Christ, if you think that's the greatest movie ever, what do you do when you see Raging Bull?
I honestly questioned if you got into it with somebody in the past about it and it's still with like in you. Like, does something happen? Like, the way you got mad, I was like, is there something I'm missing here?
Like, no, you know what it was? Because I had tequila before the cognac. It was just all that hard stuff.
Oh, that tequila was unreal.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
But we're being angels today because we got two shows tonight at the Orpheum.
And your eggs. Oh, my God. And your eggs.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Paulie
over
likes,
medium.
Paulie likes the eggs over medium. Now, over medium, that's the, you have to care.
It's an art.
You got to care to make over medium. Over easy, you just fucking flip it. Here you go.
Over easy.
Over hard, you just burn it up. Yeah. Over medium, you got to give
care.
It. You got to care.
You got to
pay attention.
You nailed it. Over medium is you cut the middle of the yolk, and it doesn't even go all over the plate. It just slowly oozes out. Still soft. You nailed it. You nailed it. And the waffles, dude, I got to tell you, I haven't had a bad meal out here.
Oh, yeah. Been cooking up a storm for Verzi and his lovely wife here every morning.
Oh, having a great time.
Scrambled eggs. The fucking...
Oh.
Well, come on. The flight and fluffy with the cheese in there. You can't cook with...
Yeah, no.
It's and as great as a cook I am, La Hit's 10 times better. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the spatula's probably going to break. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
We got to get him on here and tease him about that. We love Jay. We're just fucking around. But these text messages, I swear to God.
Dude, pray for me is pray for me is so ridiculously over the top. I love
Jay. Dude, the guy in the movie The Sniper didn't have dialogue like this. he's just trying to make a connecting flight. And you know what? I'm going to look up Dallas right now, and I'm going to see what the fucking weather. If you had to guess, what is the weather? God. Judging by those texts, you know, there had to have been like a tornado warning, right?
Dude, I bet you the weather there is like 48 degrees or 55 degrees.
Okay.
Clear skies.
I mean, I don't know if I'll ever take off again. Oh, it's 51 degrees.
I almost nailed it.
Precipitation, 0%. Humidity, 0%. Winds, 10 miles an hour.
Nothing. Nothing, dude.
Dude, you could barely fly a kite in that
dude,
fucking weather.
A drone wouldn't have turbulence.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Jay. Sorry if I got a little heated last night. I don't know.
When I drink the
fucking hard stuff, sometimes it brings out the uglier side of me.
It was so funny, man. Like, Stacy and I were just like, did he get, like, it was really funny. Because you went from, like, by the way, that cognac.
Oh, yeah. But Paul, you also got to know I'm a lunatic. You know, you realize I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, but I don't think you're a lunatic.
I am. Look, Jay flips out over fucking nothing. I flip out over, like, Jay flips out basically about everything. I flip out over, like, dumb shit.
Dude, you acted like last night like your high school rival loves Star Wars.
No, I lost to my high school rival.
Yeah, like you and your high school rival had this thing, and he was a Star Wars guy, and you weren't, dude. That's how.
I just want someone to agree with me. It's like, what am I not seeing?
That reminded me of Chappelle. Please believe me.
Yeah. Just somebody just be like, this is the greatest thing ever. And like Sam Rockwell and Moon was fucking up. Like, that movie blew my fucking mind.
You know, I didn't see that? Yeah, I didn't see
I want
that.
You to do that and then go watch one scene with Ewoks. And I want you to justify that fucking 50-mile line. I understand it's for kids. I get that. And if you're whatever.
Dude, I actually agree.
What blows
can see
my mind is the adults that are still getting like... I mean, this movies that I loved when I was a kid and I watch them now and I'm just like, oh, Jesus, you know?
Dude, I actually see what you're saying. I like Star Wars because I was a kid and I see it's ridiculous. The big monkey Chewbacca with Tourette's just fucking, like, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, but. But then there's a cool side to it, dude. Like evil and good and the saber. I like the lightsaber fights, dude. I just, you know, but I was a kid. I was a kid.
Okay, you like lightsaber fight. Why don't you watch Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee? I mean, you want to see some good fighting.
But you know, remember we're talking.
Two people with a flashlight.
No, but remember we're talking yesterday and they're like, hey, man, you're going to the.
Wow. That's a fucking.
No, remember we were talking about.
On the chair, you must sit.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me the same voiceover guy who did Jabba the Hutt and fucking Yoda is not the same guy.
Yeah, the guy with the horns.
Yeah, the same guy did the Cookie Monster. Jabba, no bother. I think it's the guy from Amistad.
Freedom.
It's all the same thing.
But here's the thing, dude. You know when you go to a sneaker store and you're like, oh my God, those Jordans bring me back? It's the same thing. And you're like, oh, J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good director. Let's see what he does with it. You got to check it out. Dude, it's 2 hours of your life. That's how I look at it. It's 2 hours of your life. Now, to your point, being dressed online as Chewbacca, that's crazy. You know, be having gowns and like, you know, women dressed in the Princess Leia bikini with the hair done. That's a little much. I would never do that. I was just saying, man, like, give it a chance. He did a really good job. That's all.
I'm not saying it's not a good movie. But I'm just saying it just blows my mind that there's not if you can have a 2 mile long line for that fucking movie. What? How many long a mile should it be for Moon District 9? If you're just gonna talk Moonraker or just actually good science fiction.
Yeah, I just think
I love that, dude. I don't mind. I
come from the 80s when you're a kid.
In the future, when, you know, there's no water and all that type of shit, and we fucking destroyed ourselves, you know. I'm not into zombies.
Oh, I don't like that. Prometheus was good.
Prometheus, that was the shit.
Prometheus was good.
That was the shit. I love that movie. I like that movie. I almost said Riddick Bowe. Ving Rhames did, you know, the one where the monster couldn't see me. He had to move the same way he did. Do you remember that?
No.
He fucking Vin had Rames? Those. He had the Ving, not Ving Rhames.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel. Sorry.
I didn't see Diesel. Riddick
he had the, yeah, Riddick. That's why I thought the guy, the actor's name was Riddick Bowe.
Riddick
Bowe. Riddick. And then I went to Ving and Ving, yes. See how my brain works?
Riddick Bowe. Your names. You're the worst.
Paul, dude, George Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos, dude. I looked at it was Jeff Gordon. Everyone's going, number 24. Dude,
they look alike.
Dude. No, we were,
they
we were
favor
also,
each
we
other.
We were also two heavy, heavy vodkas in. You know, we were hammered in the first period. Hammered.
I know. It's kind of a reoccurring story. Of a, speaking of which, Paul, you're saying in the beginning of 2016.
Yeah.
Ba, 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 ba. You're going to fuck
it. It's over. Yeah, my wife and I talked about it. I called you up. I said it. I'm doing it 100% starting after this trip. This is my last hurrah. I got 3 days, people, and then I'm going to go. I want to go 6 months, but I'm definitely going 90 days clean, dry. No booze. Cutting out the carbs, going to the track, going to run, and I'm going to drop. You know, the funny thing about me is my doctor always said, he goes, dude, you're the same weight always. He goes, you just got to lose a little bit of your stomach, and he goes, do exercise. I'm like, I've been 15 pounds overweight for fucking 10 years, and I'm getting the 15 pounds done. Done.
What about sticks? Cigars?
It's going to have to be a serious occasion. It's going to have to be a serious occasion. Okay, it's gonna have to be a holiday. I'm dropping back. I mean, maybe one a month. That's what I'm gonna do. It's gonna be a special occasion.
All right. Well, actually, when they say when you want to really make a change, you should just try to do one thing at a time. So I think just not boozing alone, you'll probably take off half the fucking weight.
Right, not boozing alone and just not smoking a stick. Joe Zimmerman, you don't know, he's a funny comic, dude. Funny comic from, I think, the D.C. area, something really funny, and we were doing the road together. And I go, hey, Joe, dude, you smoke cigars? And he just looked at me and he just goes, only when I celebrate. And the way he said it, though, dude, it was just like, it made me realize, what am I doing?
Oh, no, it's stupid, dude.
It's, yeah. It's ridiculous.
We both have to knock it off.
You're way better than me, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of over them, to be honest with you. Like, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't, like,
yeah.
I can't fucking just wake up with that taste in my mouth again. I can't do, like, I got rid of my humidors and all that. I don't even have cigars in the house anymore. And it's just like, if somebody calls me up, I got a buddy of mine that, you know, like once every 6 weeks, like, you know, hey, man, yeah, you want to go hang? I said, all right, I'll go do that. But, like, you know.
I know you dropped off with him when you used to call me and we talk about certain brands and sticks and you stopped. Like, you used to be like, oh, dude, I went to the thing. I got this, you know, I'll send you a picture of the label. And you stopped that. I noticed it dropped off. You stopped it, dude.
I had to knock it off. But, like, yeah. I still like, I like a cigar, but I had too many and I just somewhere on that last bus trip we did right before the New York shows, I just had it. I think when we were in that great one in Milwaukee, but we were just like, just the doors were all closed. There was 20 people smoking.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah. The next day I was just like, oh my God, dude. Like I feel like that went, like that smoke went into the marrow in my bones here.
That, and I could tell when Steve Mazzilli was with us, he wanted to be with us and hang out, but he couldn't. When he was sitting there, I knew he was just like, it was way too much people in there smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And it made it brutal.
There was like 10 guys, and then like 4 women showed up, and they were smoking.
They were
too.
Smoking. We were in one little room.
It was awesome, but it was too much.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, but I got to tell you, dude, California would be a problem for me because you could just go out here and just in the sunshine and just smoke a stick. I mean,
oh, every day.
Yesterday, I go, I'm going to smoke half of this with a coffee. I don't need a clip at the end of it. Once I start going. But nah, dude, I'm going clean. I said to my wife too, I go, you don't think I'm gonna do it? And she goes, no, I actually know you're gonna this time. I'm definitely doing it. I'm definitely doing it, dude.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna make it.
Of course you don't.
No, I'm just using reverse psychology.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do 90.
You're one of those guys. You need to be like, dude, people said
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm
dude, not. You don't understand. When I put my mind to stuff, Dude, you're the funniest shit talker ever. I remember a time when we were on the fucking road. You know, Verzi's on the fucking elliptical, does like 40 minutes.
No, I did over an hour. I crushed it, that one. The
you
one you're
didn't
talking
do over an hour.
Bill, I did an hour. I had it timed on
now
the
thing. Now you did an hour. Now, the next time I ask you, what's going to be? I did 50 minutes.
That was what you said the sweat was on the floor?
Whatever.
I did an hour because okay. I made sure I did 60.
But Paul goes, he goes, looks at me, and he goes, no one goes harder than me at the gym. And I'm dying laughing like, you didn't lift one weight. You didn't do any pull-ups. You got on there like some chick who just had a baby, and you're trying to lose your baby bump. You were on a fucking elliptical for an hour.
I was on the elliptical for an hour. I went hard for an hour, but yeah, I did nothing else.
You like
no pull-ups.
Nothing.
No, no. Yeah, no
doing the butterfly through the fucking pool like some of these maniacs do. Dude, yeah, the thing is you see who the fuck. The people who go hard at the gym, you look at them. They look like statues. They go hard.
Yeah, yeah.
We just show up and try to maintain.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been going to my gym recently.
You did do an hour, though. That's hilarious.
Getting back to, you know, going to the gym and stuff like this month. I want to make sure I went a lot just because I knew I was going to eat like a fucking animal. And, dude, there was like, you know, the workout couple, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like the fucking dude is just jacked and she is fucking, she's like, she's probably lifting 60% of what the fuck he's lifting. And then she had these giant fake tits. And she had this look on her face like she didn't want to be there. She was one of the scariest people I've ever seen in my life. She had her hair all pulled back. She had like this scowl on her face. And she had like these fucking World War II like pinup girl. Like remember those bullet tits they used to have back then because of the way they used to shape the bras?
Yeah.
She's walking around in this sports bra. Like I swear to God, if this woman wanted to just pick me up and body slam me, she could. Dressing like, you know, and they also do that. They like that couple that like, you know.
And she probably had an ass like me.
They got.
You ever notice that?
No, but they are like, they wear all that workout. Do that workout shit. I don't get it. Like these fucking Mr. Mom sweatpants that I have, which are fucking, I can't throw them out because they just won't wear out. I've had these things for like 12 years. I don't get these people. Just constantly buying the latest, like...
Yeah, they buy the latest gym shit.
Gym shit, yeah. So, like, the latest gym shit now is you have the socks that look like they have the bones going up the Achilles. And then they got this...
Oh, yeah, yeah, like the vertebrate, like...
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. And then they got the things, like, goes up the...
No, that's a status. That's a gym status thing. That's like, listen, I'm a regular, and you just show up like, this is my home. You fucking dopes.
I never understood having nice gym shit. It's like you're going to go there and sweat your balls off. Like I go in, I dress like a bum.
Dude, they live for it, dude. I've talked to those guys. They're like, gym is part of the gym. And they go there dressed nice. Yeah, dude, it's part of, it's just. It's,
dude, you know, it's like the same way I show up on the golf course, right? I just come walking out there wearing either sneakers or Timberlands, whatever I have on.
You actually, dude, I remember, dude, you actually, if you, I want
clubs.
You to give a fuck. And you never will, I could tell. But, dude.
Dude, I will use a putter and a sand trap.
Dude, you were hitting some good shots and I was going, oh, this guy gave a fuck. Yeah, you don't care.
It's the dumbest thing. And I just don't like, dude, fucking having to sit there and watch somebody line it up. For fucking, what seems like 20 minutes. It's just like, dude, you know you're going to slice it. And then they stand out there. I wanted to do a bit about that. Just imitating somebody fucking standing over the ball. doing all of that shit and doing the thing with their head and fucking relax.
Now, who does it? Who does the thing with their
head? My head does the thing with his head. My brother's got this other thing that he does. I was going to combine everybody's little tick. And then they fucking hit it and it goes into the woods. Then they had the nerve to stand there. Like, they don't understand what just happened. It's just like, dude, did you forget the last 12 holes? You've been doing it the whole fucking day. You don't have any money on it. Will you just go up and hit the fucking thing? There's people behind. That's another thing I can't stand about golf. The fucking stress of the people behind me. I'm just like, I'm ruining these people's day.
Dude, the lawhead. The head nod thing. He does a thing like he's almost.
He's a good golfer, though.
No, he's a very good golfer.
He's a good golfer.
He's a very good golfer.
You're a good golfer, too, but like.
Jay's about 7-8 strokes better golfer than I am because he's out here. I can't. He plays a lot more than I do.
I mean, I don't know if I'll ever play again.
you loved how I didn't like when he was doing the gimmies.
Oh, when we
yeah, because I was like,
well, that's another thing too. Is the amount of cheating that goes on
where people
hit the ball. I'm going to hit another one. I'm in another one. You going to count that one?
No, the worst is the gimme.
Dude, I count every four. What did I shoot on nine? Like 120?
No. You and Bartnick were in like the, you shot like
70s?
You shot like a 58 or a 60 something, and Bartnick shot like high 50s and you shot like low 60s or whatever.
I counted every
of everything
single
you did.
Stroke and everything I didn't take one gimme. That's such a pussy fucking.
Yeah. It is.
It's Lyle was hilarious. Lyle had to yell. He was so far away from the cup. It's a gimme!
Yeah.
It's like, is it? And Bart, I thought you were going to take out a 5-iron.
Oh, dude.
That's a gimme? All right.
Bartnick wanted to, like, hurry up. So he's like, no, just pick it up. And you know me, dude. I was like, no, you can't.
Oh, that was my favorite thing. Oh, the game within the game. Watching the two of you guys competing.
Yeah.
Because you guys were both good golfers, too. And what's his face? John, the bus driver, was insane.
He shot a 36.
Yeah, he had a
he
birdie.
36, dude.
36, dude. Oh my God, that's
he was on
pace to do 72.
He was a good golfer, John.
Let's see what this is.
Oh man, that's funny.
All right, I'm just making sure there isn't somebody from the venue. So, Paul, what are you busting out tonight for New Year's?
Outfit wise?
Yeah.
Oh, you know me. You going fresh classic kicks. You know, I'm not doing the Jordan, so I'm doing the Rod Lavers.
I took Verzi to a friend of ours recommended. I said, all right, I got a big time East Coast sneakerhead coming out here. Where should I take him?
And boy, did he nail it.
He said the one was that Fight Club.
Dude, it was a mother load. Like it was like a system overload. My head, like you were with the dog next door and I walked in and I saw Jordan 3s, Jordan 4s, 5s, the 7s.
The 3s is what you want.
And I couldn't, dude, how about my wife? How about my wife, dude? My wife Stacy's out here with me and she's having an absolute great time. The funny thing about her is she never turns it off. So we're walking on Melrose in the sunshine, getting ready to eat lunch, going into stores, everything she loves, and her brain couldn't handle it. She's like, I don't have anything to do. What the fuck?
Yeah, the kids are back east.
Yeah. You know, she's got that, like she can't relax. Like, I could relax, Bill. You know that. I could relax. You know what I mean? I could put my feet up. She can't. So when we were walking around, she was just like, this is, I go, you having fun? And she's like, I don't know if you know what to do.
That's hilarious.
She knows what to do. So you're inside, and she just goes, look, they got the Jordan 3s, Paul. They got them. She goes, I've been looking for them. And I look underneath and it says $800. And she goes, let me just get them for you. Let's just get them. And I go, I can't. First of all, I was like, it's marked up insanely.
What are they usually? They're still usually
you can get them five or six, you know, but
a pair of sneakers.
I was like, I can't go. I was like, I like them, but I don't like them to pay $250 extra on top of the gross price it already is. So she's like, let's just do it. And I was like, no. But then I saw the fours and the fives. Dude, I was, before you walked in there, my eyes, if you just saw my eyes.
I can't believe you know all of them.
Stacy just said my jaw dropped. And I was just like looking at all of these things.
Same way I can list all like the Super Bowl champions, the way that you know all the Jordan sneakers, like.
I'm not as good as certain people, but I'm getting, dude, you know what's weird is I'm turning into a sneakerhead more and more because you got to wear it. Listen, when you get older, I told you, got to be, a man needs two things. I was always taught this. You know what they are. A man needs a nice watch on his wrist.
And an alibi.
And a nice and a nice pair of shoes, whether it's kicks or shoes. They got to be
fresh. I don't know about the kicks things.
I'm just saying the foot game needs to be on par. You know, that's what I'm saying. When somebody looks at your feet, you got to go, oh, my God, those are crazy.
Yeah. You, whatever sneakers you get, I either love them or I just.
You either go, those are classics and I love them, or you're like, I hate them.
Yeah, because there's a generation gap between you and me with sneakers.
Yeah.
Where I came up with Starsky and Hutch, Adidas Dragons, Adidas Country, Nike Cortez, which I picked up and I loved yesterday. And I just go, oh, look at these, man, with the red one, you know, the white with the red.
Oh, the Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that's what kills me. You go, Forrest Gump?
Well, that's what he ran in.
I know. I didn't know that. So he ruined those sneakers.
Yeah, because he got a pair of them and that's when he put them on and he just left the house and started running. And then you see them get older, but he kept those on the whole time.
Oh,
and he had
sucks.
The big beard when he ran.
I love those sneakers, dude. It's so clean. And then what happened? Somewhere around when Shaq came into the league, like the sneakers just got so bizarre. I remember one time it looked like a bullseye and the circles just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
The ones when he was in Orlando. And I was looking at those things and I remember those younger kids going, oh, look at the Shaqs. I got the Shaqs. And I was looking at it going, that looks like the ugliest
thing. No, the Shaqs were fucking ugly. But dude, those red Adidas you got, I remember one time.
Yeah, but those Adidas I have are just classic. They're red.
Those red are sick.
Red with white stripes.
And they're clean, dude. But I remember one time we were on the road somewhere.
I haven't worn them yet.
You just bought gray ones.
Yeah, they're right there. They're all fucked up now.
Yeah, dude, we were on the road and I was standing to the right of the stage and I was just, went out there watch some of your set and everything like that. And I just, for 45 minutes, were staring at your Adidas. I didn't even listen. I was just like, those are clean.
All right.
But those red ones are one of my favorite sneakers.
Do you see the ones hanging there?
Yeah.
On the bottom, yeah, right? That's Adidas Country. The white with the green. Those were the shit.
See, those, for me, those are, that's, yeah, that reminds me of like the 1976 Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Like you know.
That was about 1978.
Yeah, dude. Those Adidas are like Country. Flat. Nah, I can't. That's too old, dude.
I understand. But then you, and then the ones,
but
up there.
But those A6s are cool.
Those A6s are cool. But yeah, then the other ones red. Those are Adidas Dragons.
Dude, you got Stan Smiths. You got black Stan Smiths.
Yeah.
You got, yeah, I have, you got
the old, I got the old school ones. I got Nike Cortez.
But see, that's where I can't get. That's where you lose me. Like, if I look at all your things, you got the Stan Smiths on top, which are crazy. You got the red, the A6s I could go with. You got the Cortez I could go with. And then all of a sudden, it gets down to the Bruce Jenners, like you said yesterday.
Oh, the Bruce Jenners. I look like a punter in 1974.
Yeah, those look like too punty. You know, those look like old school soccer shoes.
I love them though.
Yeah,
that's. But you got either, I either like what you have or like. Those Jordans you have right now look like they should have the blinking light in the back for a little kid.
Because it's got the infrared color. That's what you don't like about it.
Yeah, somewhere around the bow nose,
yeah,
that shit. And when the sunglasses started having the neon green or the neon pink along the side.
That's when the outfielders were wearing the Oakleys.
They were
shiny. They were big and shiny.
No, just like every dude who put mousse in his hair and had a chain around, gold chain around his neck in the late 80s had the fucking, those, they were like the Tom Cruise shaped sunglasses from Risky Business, and on the side it was either lime, green.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when those colors were in, I never looked more pasty because I just could not pull them off. So I had to just stick with, my whole life I've dressed like Malcolm Young, to be honest with you.
Did you ever wear Cavaricci's?
I got a picture of me with one of my first
girlfriends. I never wore them.
I had Z Cavaricci's on.
I would pay money.
With a Cosby sweater, driving gloves for whatever
Cosby
reason.
Cosby had a rough one yesterday, okay?
And a waist-length like leather zip-up.
Oh.
And I think I had a hat on, too.
Oh, my God.
It was really bad.
Dude, you and Z Cavs. Because I grew up in an Italian neighborhood or something, and the kids, they all wore them. But like, I remember they were the Forgiones. And they just all had them. I never wore them. I never wore Z Cavaricci's. It just didn't. It wouldn't have looked good.
Puffy pants.
Yeah, no, puffy up top and then tapered.
Yeah, then tapered down the bottom.
It was the MC Hammer pants. It was basically the dressy, and they were pleated.
Oh, they were so bad.
They were awful, and they crushed.
It was like one detail that would make any pair of pants bad. They took like all five, and they just threw it in one. You know, it's like that with the mystery meat. You know what I mean? We just throw it in a pot and give it to the soldiers.
I remember one time I put on pants, and Stacey goes, "Those have pleats in it." And I go, "Yeah, no, they're not." And she goes, "Get them off."
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Pleats.
Unless you're going to an 80s party. You can't have that on any fucking level. But what was I going to say? Yeah, so, dude, you have no idea what you're in for tomorrow, though, going to the Rose
Bowl. You guys are getting me excited. Like,
oh, yeah.
I never seen, like, you're going out. You're going to butcher shops.
I made the big square ice cubes.
Ice, you're getting nuts with the ice. I was like, this is going to be nuts, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know what really got me? I saw a football and a pump.
Oh, yeah.
that was it for me.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're going to be out on the golf course.
Oh.
Fucking. Lyhead makes the sickest fucking breakfast sandwiches.
Oh,
you get the OJ going. You know what's the greatest thing? Is when we pull up at this point, we're becoming that tailgate that people look over going, oh, they're making eggs. Why we should run eggs?
You guys are the guys at the Rose Bowl. Like, you're becoming
that.
No,
but there's always the... I don't think you get your official, like, you're the badass tailgate until you're literally dragging a smoker in.
And there's a bus.
And you have, like, the satellite dish and you got, like, a TV, like... Those guys we hung with in for the UT game.
Yeah, no, Giants, where the Giants play, there's a guy, he basically painted a school bus, Giants, and then he's got the tarp over, and like that, like the TV's on. Like, those guys are staples there. You guys aren't that yet, are you?
Oh, no. Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay.
No, but they those guys, I went with some guys in Cleveland a long time ago. I went to a Browns game, and there were some guys out there that bought a short bus, and they painted it. Listen to this shit. They painted it Cleveland Brown colors, and then they had this crank on the back and on top of the bus, like these goalposts would come up, and you'd be in the parking lot and you'd kick field goals.
Oh my God!
When you hammered.
Oh, I think I saw that on TV.
They might have made it.
Fox did a thing on that guy, and they were like, and people could line up to kick field goals.
They were doing it at the Cleveland. I don't know if it's the same one because sometimes people see ideas and they take someone else.
Oh, okay.
But this was the Cleveland guys.
That's awesome.
And then they played like full contact beer pong. They were nuts. And I remember I tackled the guy from John Lawrence from Hilarities. I tackled him and somebody had just dumped their hot coals on the snow and his knee went right down on it.
Oh.
And he got like almost borderline second degree burn on right under his kneecap. And he was putting snow on it. I felt horrible. And he was laughing. He didn't care. Mania. Oh, dude, that was one of the sickest games ever. As far as like the weather, we showed up and it was just that fucking Lake Erie snow, but it was just like, it was just fucking cold enough for it to be snow. So it was that wet snow. And there was some guy standing there, this fucking guy. He had like a high school Letterman jacket on. He was this skinny dirtbag looking fucking, you know, the Dale Earnhardt mustache, wiry guy, no hat. And he had like that fucking straw hair, full head of hair, but straw hair. Dude, and it was just, he had like an inch of snow on his fucking head. And somebody finally just pulled out an awful old Cleveland hat and put it on his head. And he just goes, yeah, thanks. And he just sort of shook his head, dude. And I swear to God, it was like the amount of snow that came off of his fucking head. Like if that guy didn't give him that hat, I was looking at the guy going, that guy, if this guy stays out in the elements for an entire football game, where he's at now, this guy's going to die. It's fucking insane. So this won't be, it'll be a little cold tomorrow, but we bring like three cords of wood. So, you know, if it gets a little cold
with
in the
whiskey
morning,
in the system, and I don't get cold. You know? I'm a guy that doesn't get cold. And with the whiskey I'm going to be drinking, dude, it's not. Dude, it's California. How cold is it going to be tomorrow? 40s, 50s?
It's going to be like 39 degrees, 40 degrees.
If it stays not in the 20s.
39, 40, dude, that's like.
40's chilly, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be getting up, and the first thing you're going to get is an ice cold beer, which is not what you need to warm up. I'm telling you, man.
And then Bartnick, I'm going to be warm as soon as Bartnick goes, Verzi, heater? Heater?
You want a heater? That's
it. You want a heater? Yeah, it's great. It's great. One of my favorite things is after a show, when it was me, you, and Bartnick, the best thing about touring with Bill is we all have a schedule. We all have a system, and we're like the little brothers, right? So then Bill goes up, and we always go, all right, after our sets, you bring Bill up. After our sets, we're going to go and do it. So I go into the green room, Bartnick's there. He goes like, he makes this thing with his face where he gets real happy, and he clenches his teeth, and he makes a fist.
Yeah.
And he smiles with his teeth clenched, and the fist shakes. And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, and then calmly goes, you want to pop? It's one of my favorite. You want to pop? Like, he just makes you feel like anytime you have a drink, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's unbelievable. Like, he could make like doing blow feel okay. He's like, yeah, bump. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, bump never hurt him, but you want to bump?
And you're like, heroin. Yeah. It's great.
You're like, I'll take a bump. The way you presented it, I'll take a bump. But, no, dude, you know what made me laugh? And I thought about this, and I hope you remember this because you made me think about it. Because, you know, I'd be talking shit, right, at a game with you going, dude, if they got that field goal thing back at the truck, I'm going to kick. I guarantee you I'd kick two in a row. Like, I would be talking shit.
Oh, you'd go beyond that.
Do you remember
the
time?
I could hit. I could hit a 48-yarder. You'd be like, as you're doing it, you're just making up shit as you're going.
No, the funny thing is this. Me and you were at Monday Night Football in New Orleans. Remember? Against the Eagles.
Oh, God.
We saw Vic against, and that was when Andy Reid.
What a great stadium.
And that was when Andy Reid was on his way out, and they knew, and they just couldn't win, even though Vic was doing okay. Me and you leave hammered, and we're like, dude, we got a long walk.
We walked in hammered.
We got a long walk back. So some guy standing next to us, and he hears us, and he offered us a ride. He was a complete stranger. You don't remember this. And he goes,
oh, yeah, that's right.
And he goes, dude, I'll give you, he goes, if you guys want a ride. And me and you just looked at each other, didn't know this guy from Sam, didn't know him. And we were just like, yeah, all right. And all of a sudden we got into a yelling match because I said I could throw a college football 50 or so. And I said I could throw a pro football 45. And you go, you know, you're not throwing a pro, you know how fucking, and we start getting, and the guy left. Like we,
that's right. That's
dude,
right. He walked away.
He was just like, here we.
That's right. He walked away.
We said yes to a stranger, and then he listened to this nonsense and just walked away. He was like, "I want no part of these two."
I guarantee it was more me. It was probably more me because I probably got real angry.
That's
over nothing. Dude, I get angry over nothing, and dude, I swear to God, when major shit happens, I don't flip out.
No, no, you're
some
you're,
fucking huge happen. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do? All right, how do we get out of this? But little shit makes
you
flip
you're
up.
You're calm and cool with anything. Like, you could be like, dude, did you hear about so and so? Dude, he's gonna fuck it. And it'll be an awful tragedy. And you'll be like, dude, that's bad. But you know, he could do this and he'll better it. And you're like, wow, Bill's real positive. And then somebody would be like, dude, this last Star Wars movie. And you're just like, compared to what? Goodfellas. It's like, fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, it isn't. It's one of my weaknesses. Although when we got water damage in the house, I flipped out about that. But
by the way, dude, your house is awesome.
Generally speaking, oh, thanks.
Clean.
Thank you. Clean house. Clean. Because of the wife. Though. So, anyways, we got to sit here and we got to wrap this thing up here because I got to make some pies for you jackasses tomorrow.
That's the fact you that way. You do that, dude. Is
little individual pies. You're going to be throwing down with your fucking ice cream. You're going to be so fucking hammered at that point. Then you're going to smoke a fucking cigar.
Yeah.
Then you got to go watch the game. That's the funny thing about
That's the funniest thing is everybody's like, Bartnick. He goes, dude, I got to be honest, man. The worst part about the day is going into the game. And I'm like, dude.
Dude, Lawhead saved Bartnick's ass last year. They were going to throw him out because he just sat down. Somehow, I don't know how.
What did he do?
I don't know how you get separated from Joe Bartnick. He's such a big guy. We somehow lost him like he was a toddler. He's as big as a lineman, right? And he just went over and he just sat down and he was drunk and he couldn't produce his ticket or I don't know what was going to just sort of, and they were all nervous. Next thing you know, there's like six of them standing around going like, how are we going to get this mountain of a man?
Wrong?
He was hammered in public. He was sitting down. He like a lot of people are hammered in public when they're there, but they're walking to the bathroom or they're walking to your seat. But the second you sit down and you look like you're going to pass out, and look like a homeless guy.
Oh,
you know,
he was in really rough shape.
They thought he was.
Okay.
They don't understand.
Joe, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing? I'm resting.
Yeah.
Here, you're resting? Yeah, I'm resting.
I've seen a display of Joe Bartnick where I'll know he'll never be down.
Well, he fucking...
he'll never be
down. Oh, we all have. Yeah. So they were about ready to kick him out, and that's when Lawhead gave the famous, now famous, the teddy bear speech. Ah, he's a teddy bear. He's like, you guys are teddy bears. He just kept calling him a teddy bear. And they fucking bought it, and he was able to bring him back into the like to the seated area and sat him down. and I remember telling people that story last year, and then other people used it later on in the week and would text me going, "Yeah, my buddy, they were going to throw him out. I just can't. Well, he's a teddy bear. Guy's a teddy bear.
That's great.
Teddy bear diffuses the situation.
That's great.
Oh no, Jace saved.
But the thing
Bartnick's
that people don't
ass.
Know, and if those security people knew Bartnick was like, remember in Scarface when he was just getting shot and he was just going like that, and his arm was going back, but he just kept shooting. Dude, I saw we were in Portland, and a guy goes, dude, this is the strongest weed in the country. Like Snoop Dogg gets this weed. This is the weed, right? And we're like, all right, dude. I took one hit of this thing, and you know I'm not a big weed smoker, Bill. I was borderline not okay for like 50 minutes. Like I took one hit and I was like, I can't touch that again. Lawhead took three. He just had this look. Lawhead took three. Pray for me.
Yeah.
That's what you should have been praying for. Dude, Bartnick smoked half of it with the other people. He just kept going around. He smoked and drank. He's just walking. He's just walking, swaying, dude. And he held it together, dude. Animal. Oh, yeah. He doesn't go down, dude. He won't go down.
Never went down.
He won't go down.
Joe LaMotta.
Oh, that's great.
I got to, speaking of Jake LaMotta, Rappaport did a whole podcast on Raging Bull.
Oh, did he?
Dude, and he showed me the names of, I don't know if it came out yet, so I'm not going to, no spoiler alert here. He showed me the names of the people that are going to be on just talking about why they love that movie. If it's not out yet, look for it. If it is out, listen to it. It's what I'm going to do. Dude, you know what I listened to? I was driving out to go visit some family out here. And Nia put on this podcast of, they interviewed that guy that just walked off the base there or the little area in Afghanistan, the American troop that just walked off. And then got captured by the Taliban and was there for 5 years. They interviewed the guy, dude. I listened to like three of them.
What? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, because there's a big thing now. Should they court-martial him or should they just let him go? Because he did it on purpose. He said that because the leadership was so fucked up over there, he was trying to create a situation where people above would listen. Because his plan was to walk out and then come back And I don't know what was going on, but like...
His American guy?
Yeah.
He just left the U.S. base and started walking towards them?
Yeah.
And they captured him?
Yeah, well, he didn't think he was going to get caught. I'm such an idiot. I'm already forgetting so much of it. But all I just remember was at the end of it, like, this guy had, like, some sort of fucking... He didn't like where he was in life, and he had, like, a hero complex.
Okay.
And he was trying to, like, he was trying to have, like, a Hollywood movie moment. And he got his dumb ass caught. And then all these troops had to fucking go look for him and put themselves in danger.
Yeah.
As they were trying to get the American guy to Pakistan. Because if they get him into Pakistan, because we're not at war with them, we can't just roam all over the place and look for him. And these fucking guys for like 3 weeks straight were just like, dude could not rest.
They had to dope.
Exactly. And their fucking clothes were almost falling off just from marching, just trying to find this guy. So some of them were saying like, dude, I swear to God, if I found the guy, I would have shot him. And then the NPR lady's like, well, I don't understand that. It's like, how do you not understand that?
Oh, fuck that guy. I wouldn't even left the base. I'd be like, fuck you. I would have been screaming at him while he left.
Yeah.
I'm not coming.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, you better find him before I do.
Yeah, dude, fuck that guy. Because he doesn't like where he's in life, he puts the fucking risk of everybody
else. One of the guys said when they finally made the trade-off, because we had to trade, like, guys from Guantanamo Bay to get the fucking guy back, and they were saying when the Apaches landed, this one guy was saying he wanted to be on the helicopter. And they were like, why? He goes, because they were going to beat his ass.
What a fucking dick, man.
I don't understand. Like, I don't think they literally would have shot him, but somebody saying that, like, you better fuck, because I'm going to fucking shoot
this guy. Somebody would have punched him in the face and knocked him out and be like, dude, you're putting your fucking, you're putting your soldiers at risk, you fucking dope.
Absolutely.
What was his end game? What did he want to happen? He wanted to walk over there and come back?
There was like... It wasn't just his guys. By the end, it was like an entire fucking platoon of people just walking around.
That's ridiculous.
In Afghanistan for a month trying to find this fucking guy.
Oh.
And they're all sitting there going like one of the guys was saying, he's trying to keep the morale up, making jokes and shit. And he goes, and in the end, he goes in the back of your head, you know, it's all bullshit. And the NPR lady is like, why? Why is it all bullshit? I always make fun of the NPR people, even though I love the station.
That's ridiculous.
He goes, because I knew it, you know, after a certain amount of days of guys in Pakistan, we got to at least look for the, we have to do this level of force.
Did the Taliban fuck him up?
Well, what's funny was because of the amount of people that were looking for him, they thought he was a really important guy.
So I think
that they went more towards trading the guy. I mean, I only listened to like 2.5 of them, but it's really, I couldn't listen to the whole fucking thing because once it was like, once I found out the reason why he did it, I was just like, dude, you're off. You're just fucking off.
Yeah,
and he's trying to come off like he's this guy who was really trying to do something noble. It's like, no, dude, you have like some sort of hero fantasy.
It's a selfish move, dude.
Yeah, and you were going to get in front of like the brigadier fucking general or whatever, and they were going to listen to you and be like, wow, this guy's making sense. You know, we're going to change all of this. Yeah, I was listening to it and I just like the sickest thing was when he was talking about like he gets like 20 minutes away from the base and realizes he makes this huge fucking mistake.
Yeah.
And he wants to fucking go back, but he got lost. And then because he's so fucking terrified, his fucking ego kicks in again and he decides to go even further into the shit.
Oh, man.
And do something like I was just sitting there going like, yeah, dude, like literally like your palms are sweating, sort of. But you know he's getting caught, and you know that he made it, so that took a little of the edge off. But it's just like, dude, like they literally skin people alive out there. The fuck are you doing?
Dude, they're cutting fucking heads off, dude.
Well, that's what they would say when they would... Dude, what's funny is the Afghani people are on the podcast talking of some of the guys that found them. Not the Taliban guys, they're funny going like... they're like, what do you seem like? They were laughing. They go, yeah, he seemed pretty scared. That was a funny thing. Listen to the Afghani. They just sound regular. You know what I mean? Because they always make everybody up to be a fucking monster. Or they was he seemed scared. So at one point, they wanted, because they couldn't speak English and he couldn't speak that. They were trying to make him feel like, don't worry, we're not going to kill you at this, you know? So there was some sort of dance that they did. And he goes,
that would freak me to
fuck. That's what he said.
I would think it was like that's a sacrifice.
Exactly. Like, yeah, we're going to kill this guy. So they said, did that calm him down? And the Afghani guy laughed. He goes, nah, man, it made him more nervous.
Oh, good, dude. I would have thought that's like some sacrificial... Like, that's like, they're ready to kill you.
No, it was fucking funny. But the thing about it is, though, what I liked, the thing that I enjoyed most about the podcast was listening to somebody on the other, or just a townsperson over there, just sounding regular and cool. Because the way they make it seem, this is the stories you hear over there. When I picture Afghanistan, I just picture a barren wasteland.
Yeah.
And if you walk anywhere there, somebody is going to jump out from behind a rock and saw your head off as you're alive.
Yeah, I think of it
while lighting the other party
turban,
on
barefoot on. Turban, going, we will get you. Yeah, like that's what you think.
Yeah, and then you listen to this guy going, yeah, we did a calm down. He's like, nah, made him more nervous. You're listening, like, dude, I fucking hang out with this guy. So anyways, all right, that's the Thursday afternoon podcast. Dude, I'm psyched you're out here. Another great year, bunch of great shows. So we're going to do two tonight, downtown LA. Fucking Rogan's at the Wiltern.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy here tonight. I can't believe enough people showed up for ours to make it good shows here. You know, with Rogan. Rogan's a fucking monster. You ever seen him live?
Long time ago.
Oh, unbelievable.
So
huge, influence when I first saw him, as far as there was such like a glass ceiling to headlining in Boston.
Yeah.
It was just like, you just, they had the legends and they weren't leaving and they were fucking hilarious. So there was only, he was the guy that I learned, like, you got to leave to come back and headline. Cause if you stay here, it's literally, you got to wait for people to die. It's like getting fucking season tickets to the Packers. It's like, it's not happening, man. I got to go move to where, Jacksonville. I'll get 50 yard line seats.
That's kind of actually cool that Boston like doesn't let those guys die out. A lot of places let those guys die out and they turn into dinosaurs, and it's almost like a sad thing. Where
the thing is, they didn't stop writing. So they just kept going and going and going and going. So you got the both things. Like Rogan, I learned you had to leave and then come back. And then with those legendary guys in Boston, I learned that you got to keep writing. Because some kept writing, some didn't. And the ones that didn't, the act suffers. But the ones who kept writing, it's just that. Yeah, you stay like contemporary.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to babble here. So I got pies to make. I have pies to make. All right. Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you to everybody.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Thanks for, coming out on the road with me again this year. And thank you to everybody listening. Everybody came out to the shows. Everybody's been watching F is for Family, and telling people about it. It's doing great.
Great show.
It's doing
congratulations on that, by the way. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, please, you know, keep telling people about the show, and I will talk to you guys on Monday. Happy New Year. Go fuck your shows.
Verzi's got me addicted to Florentine's podcast, and now Verzi does he does a pretty good Florentine. Dude, Florentine is the funniest motherfucker ever.
Listening to Florentine complain
about anything.
Oh my god!
That robot. That's what I care that about, robot. Right? You're fucking kidding me.
Fucking it's garbage.
Fucking joke.
Fucking Fox News robot. Fucking.
Dude, you got that robot? The way he goes like up, or he like drags the word out.
It's fucking halftime. It's fucking.
That's really good, man.
He's fucking funny, man. Listen to that guy complain.
Really, really? Like, we've never seen a beautiful woman before?
Fucking Bud Light commercial. It's fucking ridiculous.
All right. What do we got here? This is, sunglasses. There's some really, some weird ones this week. People like, this guy says, hey, Bill, my listeners send in, like, questions and shit, and I read it just to let you know. Billiam, I need to ask you a very important question. My wife makes fun of my choice of sunglasses. She thinks they're not hip enough. I told her I was wearing brown tinted sunburst aviators since college, before the whole aviator hype. Is there aviator hype? I don't even remember.
I mean, Top Gun came out.
Yeah, I was going to say, back then, those people who.
In 1980s.
Yeah, who wanted to be like Tom Cruise. You know, my neighbor, when I was growing up, any movie that Tom Cruise was in, he got into that, like whatever it was. Like Top Gun, he joined like the fucking. He joined like the Air Force Reserves.
No.
He alligator armed it. He joined that, and then
Days of Thunder, he started racing cars.
No, Cocktail, he became like a bartender. His rich dad got him out of the fucking reserves.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he started getting into that. And what else did he do? There was like three things, so it kind of became this running joke, like whatever fucking Tom Cruise movie was coming out. And then eventually he moved out to LA, finally just well, why don't I just be a fucking actor? You know, so I don't have to actually join the fucking Air Force. Don't know whatever happened to him. So anyway, aviator glasses, which were, yeah, the Tom Cruise fan slash date rapist. Remember that fucking kid I was talking about him? Do you remember that kid who he had the rough sex with the girl in Central Park and she died?
No.
You're too young for that. Yeah, this guy.
What?
Yeah, this fucking psycho. No, he killed her. He tried to say that that she wanted rough sex. It was consensual, and I don't know what he accidentally killed her or whatever.
That puts a whole other meaning to the word killing it.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, Paul.
How you doing with the ladies?
Oh, I'm killing it. Crushed it. Fucking crushed it. Anyways, dude, that's fucking brutal. So anyway, but this guy, you know what? It actually made me mad when he got out of prison. Not only that he got out of, on two levels it made me mad. First of all, the guy got out of prison, but the idiots on the news going off on the guy were saying, because when he got out, he wasn't on parole because he did all his time, because he didn't get time off for good behavior, because they were just like, you know, he had fights in prison, he was selling drugs and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah. All that says in there is he didn't get raped. He did what he had to do in there to survive. So on some level, yeah, you have to respect that, because that's the big fear as a guy.
Wait, did he rape the girl, or it was just rough sex?
I don't know what he did. I don't know what
happened. That's such a big difference, though.
Well, I don't know if he went like Ron Artest, like it was going good and he was excited, and then he fucking elbowed her. Why are we joking about this?
He just dunked and then fucking started pounding his chest.
Yeah, and then they didn't show the replay because it was a home game. no, he fucking,
so
I don't know.
So how long did he do? They let him out of jail.
Yeah, he did like all 15 or 16 years, because they couldn't get him on murder, because he said it was like, I know, like on rape trials, like what they always do, like the hardest thing to get him on is when they say it was consensual. So then all DNA is out the fucking window. Then you have to like, It's the worst fucking thing. If somebody does that to a woman, they should be, honestly, they should have like a flamethrower, and they should just have it pointed at the defendant. And Jerry, would you like to read the verdict? On the count of rape, we find him guilty in the first degree. And just light him on fire right in front of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right in front of the family. That's how I would run it.
The same thing with
child molesters.
Oh, that's the worst.
Child molesters. That's it. Child molested. I would actually have them get chased by rabid dogs first, and then
dude, this Sandusky guy this Sandusky guy should get fucking drawn and quartered in the courtroom. Put his fucking body parts in a bag.
He should be underneath an oil tanker, and then they should drive it to fucking.
Man that's walking this earth.
That's what I would do with that guy. What I would do with that guy, well, I would go into shark infested waters and I would give him a bunch of paper cuts and I'd tie him to the front of a boat.
Oh my God. I never heard of like that. Well, that's a good one, man.
Well, just Paul, you got to understand, when you do something like that to somebody, you didn't just, you ended that kid's life. And then you affected generations of people, because who they're going to marry, how they're going to treat the person they marry, how they're going to treat their kids, and then the treatment of the kids, how they're going to act in society. It creates – it's like that little Confucius thing when you drop the pebble in the still pond and the ripples just go like that. See, you got a little poetic on you. It's like that. No, see, that's what I say. Tie him to the front of a boat, paper cuts, shark-infested waters, and that's it. And you know what's awesome. Funny? And this is the thing about it. That's funny. That'd be awesome. And it still won't stop him. It still won't stop it from happening. But you should start weeding them out.
That's a sickness, man. From young, that's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
And it ruins the lives
of everybody.
But the kid forever.
Yeah, it's over. Why are you saying what I just said, Paul?
Oh, did you say it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you won't even listen. A typical comedian. Thinking about what you were going to say. That's literally exactly what I just said.
No, I was thinking about the I was thinking about him actually like hitting the thing like a buoy.
Oh, that's right. You got that weird fucking shit where you every once in a while you think about doing crazy stuff, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
I always get nervous about admitting this type of stuff. Like someday, if you're like on trial, like, you know, I'm gonna get put in contempt of court because I'd still never rat you out. But it'd be like, what are you talking about? You guys talked about this on the podcast. What, are you kidding me? It was a joke.
Like garbage.
Oh, we didn't ask the fucking guy's question here. We were talking about aviators. He said, what's the breakdown of douchey sunglasses versus acceptable ones? What kind of sunglasses do you wear, and does Nia have any say in the matter? I imagine you wear very non-threatening, low-profile shades. I can't tell if that's an insult or if he's con- sounds like an insult, right?
No, I don't think it's an insult. I think this guy genuinely wants to know what he could wear to make his girl stop trashing him.
Well, this is what you have to do. First of all, depending on where you are in your relationship, is if you feel secure in your relationship, maybe she's just doing you a solid and telling you that you look like a douche. But if she's always telling you everything, what to do, then you have to continue wearing those glasses, and you have to wear them over to her mother's house.
Defiance.
Yes, and wear them into the house, and don't take them off when her mom's talking to you. That's like a buddy of mine, right?
Dude, women though, I just want me to say something real quick.
Oh God, more women trashing. I was hoping you were going to be nice to them.
It's just like, could you, like, a guy's really thinking about it, and this happens all the time. This guy's got a genuine concern here. But like, for like, I've heard of guys going, "Yeah, my girl just looked over at me and looked at that shirt and goes, ugh, it's such a turnoff. Take it off." And I want to be, it's in my mind, I'm just like, I want to be like, dude, shut the fuck. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but those guys deserve it. They fucking deserve it, Paul. If you let the woman in your life talk to you like that,
well, they
fucking deserve it. The same way a woman deserves it.
No,
if that guy is a fucking asshole, minus them beating the shit out of you. Minus them beating the shit out of you.
But
like, if they beat you up, then that's just complete bullshit.
No, of course.
But if they're walking around being a fucking asshole, disrespecting you, that's on you. Okay?
But if the guy says
break up with them.
But what if the guy says to her, shut up. You know, I'm wearing the shirt. Shut up.
Yeah.
Is he a dick?
No.
Right. But then it's like, oh my God, don't
talk. That's a total turnoff to disgust me. Take that off. Just flip it around. What if you ever said that to your girl?
Yeah, exactly.
That's disgusting. It makes you look fat. Come on. You'd never do that.
No.
Even if you said that disgust me, that would be it.
Listen, here's my answer.
They would pout through the fucking dessert that night at the meal.
Well, here's my answer to your listener's question here. If you like them, dude, and you look in the mirror and you go, you know something, I like the glare. I like if it's orange tint or whatever. You like it, fucking wear it.
Paul, you know something? That's why you and your wife are so comfortable to hang around. Because how many times you guys tell each other, go fuck yourself? You say, go fuck yourself, right? You do that, right?
Like, no, we'll just be like, you know something.
Up.
Not in a, but in a loving way.
Yeah, but you got to keep them off you. The same way she has to keep you off her. You know, if she didn't keep you in check, you'd golf fucking 9 times a week.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. There's a fine line in what's like, you know, yes, exactly.
Dude, I had a buddy of mine, right? We went fishing, right? We were done fishing. You know, we drank a bunch of booze or whatever. We were smoking cigars, and his wife pulls up, and you know, they told their kid about the dangers of smoking, right? So the kid starts fucking crying and blah, and there's all this big fucking thing. And the guy was literally in the doghouse. And I guess maybe because the kid was crying, I kind of saw her point, but he's one of those fucking guys. I wanted to say to him, like, dude, you know what really helped your relationship? Next time you drop your kid off in the car, take out a big fat fucking Cuban and just light it up.
Yeah.
And again, what are you doing? I'm smoking a cigar because I enjoy it. When I come home, I'm going to watch a game. And I'm smoking this fucking cigar. And when she says why, you say, because you can go fuck yourself. And I'm telling you, it's a little blunt. You can round off the edges.
You might not want to say you could go fuck yourself.
But I'm just saying, that would help your relationship. Happy. It's like that movie. Remember the movie there with Kevin Spacey? When she comes home, what is that in the driveway? He's like, that is a 1969 Firebird. And he just, I went out and bought it because I wanted it. Go fuck yourself. And you saw the look on her face. There was a shift for the better in that relationship. But doesn't he die in the end? Doesn't he get killed?
Oh, I don't know. Was that?
That was a weird one. He wanted to fuck that 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah,
Fuck that movie. Sitting there with rose petals falling all over him. So we're saying, you know what? You wear the goddamn sunglasses you want to, sir.
That's right.
Stars get bad. I'd rather hang up a flag and be done with it. I'd rather